grace to you, and peace. Amen. During a papal visit to India in 1964, Pope Paul VI had occasion to meet Mother Teresa. She had recently left her calling as a teacher in a private school to upper-class young women. The young nun felt called instead to care for the urchins and the lepers and those dying in the streets and befouled alleys just outside the cloister walls. The Pope was appropriately impressed with the work that this diminutive Macedonian nun was accomplishing amongst the poorest of the poor in Calcutta. He was so impressed that he gave Teresa the white Lincoln limousine in which he was chauffeured during his trip. She staged a raffle and spent the returns on the poor. I wonder if you're like me and cringe more than a little whenever you hear texts like the one that Steve just read for us today. There are so many times in the Gospels and in the letters that follow that followers of Jesus are encouraged, or more pointedly, instructed to let go of their possessions, their property, and their connections. You've heard it like this: for those who have much, much is required. I have little trouble identifying with the man who confronts Jesus in today's story. By all accounts, he's a good man. He has prospered, presumably provided well for his family and for his community. He has followed God's law. Well, most of it seems. Jesus starts by praising the man. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. But, he says, you lack one thing. Did you catch it? Honor your father and mother. Check. Don't murder. Check. No adultery. Check. Don't steal. Check. Don't lie. Check. Don't covet. Well, Mark calls it defrauding and lumps the two covets together. Check. Check. That's only seven. But even the smallest of our Sunday school students can tell us that there are 10 commandments in the law. So what's missing? Well, it's the first three, the parts that talk about God. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. Don't take the Lord's name in vain, and remember the Sabbath and keep it. Jesus seems to have sized up the rich man and suggested a serious character flaw. Though he had followed the letter of the law, he still lacks one thing. Apparently, he's forgotten about God. It could be argued that the man's adherence to the law has contributed to his wealth and his station, working hard to support economic systems of the day and doing them in right ways certainly could lead to prosperity. Don't steal, lie, covet. As Luther teaches, help your neighbors, do the same. Well, that could create the kind of conditions for one to thrive. But Jesus seems to suggest something else is at stake here. As our Lenten theme proposes, it's not about you. And today, it's not about our stuff. The proposal that Mark's gospel is making is that it's about our priorities. Jesus' call is to ask, what is the mission that's driving our actions? Are we primarily concerned with ourselves? Have we ordered our lives in such a way as to have pushed God down the list? Maybe even out of the picture altogether. Yeah, this is hard to hear. I know that I feel more than a little convicted when I think of all the stuff in my life that matters deeply to me. But do I have my priorities straight? Do I trust in myself and in my stuff more than I trust in God? These are the questions that I'll be wrestling with during the weeks that lead us toward Easter, and I would invite you to do the same. What is the value of all this stuff in our lives? And what is most important? I think we as a church are also wrestling with the questions of priorities as we work through the discernment of what to do with Rose Diesler's remarkable gift to this congregation. I'm gratified that the first recommendation of the committee is to do what we have always done. We always give at least 10% of all the offerings that this church receives. Give it away. In January, we gave away $15,000 in our Love Let Go adventure. And today, after the second service, we'll be voting to give away another $76,000 to be split between Keystone Community Services, our local social services agency, and Lutheran Disaster Response, which works here in the U.S. and around the world, helping communities recover following times of disaster. This is a priority-setting exercise and certainly a good place to start. I've shared the story before that in 2011, I went on a mission trip to Haiti with a group from my church. Taking a break from helping at an orphanage one afternoon, we loaded into the back of an open pickup truck and we went to visit a hospital facility in a neighborhood called Sanfio, one of the poorest areas of the capital city of Port-au-Prince. This part of the city was just teeming with people and so many that it was hard to focus on any of the particular details before us. And as the pickup pushed its way through the crowds, the sights and the smells that we encountered are forever etched into my memory. The patients in this hospital were all dying from the complications of tuberculosis and AIDS. This hospice facility sat behind a tall wall that guarded the compound right in the heart of Sanfio. When we finally got through the crowds and on the other side of that gate, we were surprised by the relative tranquility of the hospital. We were greeted by the nuns that ran the facility, and they divided us up. Some went to the women's ward, and others were sent to the men's ward. We visited with the patients. None of us spoke Creole. None of them spoke English. Mostly, we sat on bedsides for a time and held hands and offered our smiles. Following his visit in 1964, in addition to his limousine, Pope Paul VI gave Mother Teresa permission to expand her order beyond Calcutta and beyond India. Within 50 years, Mother Teresa and the Sisters of Missionaries of Charity built over 500 ministries serving the poor in over 100 different countries, including the city of Port-au-Prince in the neighborhood of Saint-Ville. There, the sisters have created a place of refuge in the midst of chaos and have offered an opportunity for some of the most neglected children of God to find peace in their last days. Happiness, Mother Teresa once said, is the sign of a generous person. It's often the mantle of self-sacrifice. Joy is the surest way to announce Christianity to the world. To visit beyond the gates of the Saint-Ville hospital compound in Haiti doesn't require anything more than a willingness to sit with the children of God, hold their hands, and smile. And if you're wondering what it requires to enter beyond the gates of heaven, I think Mother Teresa might just be pointing us to the right. Many who are first will be last, and the last